Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Football, energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley. Grant Nicholson. Producing the operation. Devontae Adams made a statement about Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, everybody's talking about it now. SportsCenter says Devontae Adams said he'd have to do some extra thinking if Aaron Rodgers left Green Bay. It would change a lot. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but I definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. That's the other thing they have to consider, right? Green Bay, everybody mutiny. Everybody leaving because Aaron left. What would they do? State Farm would like it because you get Mahomes and Rodgers twice a year. They would absolutely love it. But regardless, but that was some Denny Matthews earlier. And think about this, Grant. What year were you born?
1996.
The Royals' last four-game sweep on the road happened when you were three. 99.
Yeah, 99.
First four-game sweep was against the Tigers earlier this year. First ever in Detroit for the Kansas City Royals. So they see them six of the next 12 games, three of them in Detroit. Three of them in Kansas City as they, for some reason, their ERA, by the way, 2 points higher at Kauffman Stadium than on the road. Had to figure that out with Kauffman Stadium. They got the fans back. Let's go. Let's go, Royals, but a good chance tomorrow to get that going. I don't know what you're doing Wednesday night, Grant, but you know what Wednesday night is, right? I mean, you're aware of this. You're aware of the big deal that's happening in the National Football League.
Well, you roped me in. Now I'm picking up dinner for my folks on Wednesday now. You roped me into this.
I thought that was Tuesday.
No, my mom. My mom said Wednesday.
Okay, so Wednesday.
So Wednesday, yeah.
So it's fine. You show up, food, you get something to watch. You know what you're going to watch? Well, you don't have to, but if you want to.
I'm sure it's the schedule reveal.
Yes.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, NFL Network. I think ESPN2 is doing something too. But regardless, it's all you've seen. Schedule release to get the nice little logo for it. It looks kind of like the Madden logo, right? Like, aren't you curious? Well, you know the players, it's primetime. What primetime games we got? How many? We have five, like before with Kansas City. What games are going to be prime time? You know, is it going to be Baltimore and Kansas City again? What's going to be the best primetime game? What are we going to get? I mean, outside of Kansas City, if you're just a neutral observer for the NFL, there is some games you might be interested in. I think Tampa, New England is interesting. Tom going back to Bill Belichick. That screams primetime to me because as a football fan, I want to see what Belichick would have in store for Tom Brady. Now, it's going to be a love fest between Patriots fans and Tom Brady, but aren't you a little bit curious as to see what that would be?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious about that game. And I think the NFL's had a genius marketing, getting all this stuff pumped out. Helps that they have deals with ESPN. But
it used to not be a big deal. They just release a schedule or whatever, and you saw what it is. But the last couple of years, they've done this. We've done shows because the Royals weren't on. We got lucky the Royals weren't on those nights, but obviously Thursday I'll be talking about this. But we had schedule release shows, but they're doing a schedule release show. The NFL gets it. They're taking something small like that and saying, okay, there's a market for this, like they've done the combine, putting it in primetime, even though they couldn't with COVID this year. But they've done it, and they'll do it again. Having the draft since 2010, first night on Thursday night, right? This is just another thing that people are interested in, right? It's why they have it, and everybody else in pro leagues are looking for it.
Yeah, and normally this is not a thing I remember being interested in the last couple of years, but this one, for some reason, it's like, all right, I'm kind of interested in seeing what's happening.
Yeah, you're looking at the matchups, and you're interested in what's going on. Adam Rank, NFL.com, put their experts out there, and they put what game they're looking forward to the most. Adam Rank is looking forward to the quarterback matchup with Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Joe Thomas, the former Cleveland Browns, looking forward to Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. Like, don't forget, that's going to be fun. Cleveland, by the way, they took 50% of the Rams' secondary. Okay? Number one pass defense in the NFL. They've got their safety, and they've got Troy Hill, the corner. 50%. Then they've got Clowney. Say what you want about Clowney. Can he get production? We'll see. Myles Garrett on the same defensive line. I feel they've taken their defensive line and could be a top 10 defense in the NFL next year. And you might say, okay, what else can Cleveland do? Well, we know they can run the football. That's what they're very good at, is running the ball. How good does Baker need to be? Serviceable? Not great. That offensive line in Cleveland, I feel, is the best offensive line since Costanzo retired in Indy. I think they've surpassed Indy as the best offensive line in the AFC. Now, the Chiefs are going to have something to say about that. I think the Chiefs at this point have a top three offensive line. We'll see how it shakes out. But it's hard to argue Cleveland. They have three all-pros on that offensive line. Three. That's not Pro Bowl. That's all-pro. Jack Conklin, tackle. Joe Bitonio, the guard. White Teller, the guard. It's a hell of a line. And you have that running game. You've got to take them seriously. Lost by 5 points in Kansas City. Former player D'Angelo Hall says Tom Brady versus Josh Allen. Okay? It's interesting. We'll see what Josh Allen can do. Mark Ross of NFL Network says Aaron Rodgers versus Mahomes. Obviously, they say Green Bay, but if he ends up in Denver, you get it twice. And Scott Pioli is obviously looking forward to Tom Brady in New England, as he put it there. But here's NFL Network when Good Morning Football with Nate Burleson, Kay Adams, Cal Brandt, discussing the best quarterback matchups, because there are some really good quarterback matchups that are going to happen this year in the NFL. This is what they say is their top three, and we'll discuss these.
My eyes go to Brady as well, but maybe not the opponent you might think. I'm looking at Tom Brady versus Josh Allen, because in all of the incredible stuff that the Bills accomplished last year, going all the way to the title game, there was something missing. There was something missing, and I feel like Tom Brady escaped the Buffalo Bills. He got out the back door. His head was not on a stake like Ned Stark. They never got their revenge on him. Josh Allen's never beaten him. Sean McDermott's never beaten him. Do you know that Tom Brady has beaten the Buffalo Bills 32 times?
Is that right? 32
it's the record.
Times?
The record for one quarterback wins over any team in NFL history is Brady over the Bills. By the way, the second is Brady over the Jets. And Roethlisberger over the Bengals. Now, here's this. Here's our list of victims. These are all starting quarterbacks of the Buffalo Bills who have lost to Tom Brady. We got Alex Van Pelt, Trent Edwards, J.P. Lossman 5 times, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you'll see Josh Allen in the bottom left-hand corner, 3. Look at the record from Brady, 32-3. So the Bills, the Mafia, woohoo, rise up. You went to the title game. You never beat Brady. He was the greatest villain in the history of that organization. Mm. And now you go to Tampa, the site of the Super Bowl, take him out. Take him out, and then you move to Mahomes. But you got business. You got business with Brady. I want to watch it.
See, I'm okay with that. I'm okay to see what Josh Allen has. Can he take that on the road? They did lose last year. I mean, they were on a hell of a roll at the end of the season. They lost that Hail Murray, Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. But they, you know, team, I wouldn't mind him seeing taking an L, seeing Buffalo get that L. Again, not worried about the Buccaneers until you get the Super Bowl. And we'll square up again. Love to play the Buccaneers again with that. But see what Josh Allen's made of. See what he can do against Tom Brady. You know, take the pressure off here, because it's been litmus test with Mahomes versus all these quarterbacks. And Josh Allen had 2 chances last year and failed both times. Any interest with you in that Bills? Because it could be the Bills and Buccaneers on that Thursday night game, or it could be Dallas, like our caller said, because Dallas always ends up on primetime, and they do play the Bucs at the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Bills matchup too, because I think what they said is kind of apt, is Brady kind of got off scot-free, right? All the other teams in the division basically stunk right up until he left. And then you want to kind of see, could he have competed? Would they have been as dominant if they had to play legitimate teams?
See,
in
that
the
would have been the storyline had the Bills beaten the Chiefs in the title game, right?
Yeah.
They're playing Tom Brady again. Out of the last 35 times against the Bills, he beat them 32 times. Now, the Bills had took advantage of the Patriots this year because they were down. But Patriots have owned Buffalo. And Buffalo has to hate what all they did because they wanted tight ends. Like Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, they hated seeing those go to the Patriots. Because they didn't get one, they got both. So that's one matchup there. Here's another quarterback matchup.
You want to hear how life comes full circle?
Yes.
This is so funny. Looking at that list. Can I see that list again?
Give me the list.
Just that list again. One more time. Anthony, if you don't mind, I'm just calling up for that full screen. Because see right in the middle there, Thad Lewis,
sure.
One game. Do you know who the Buccaneers hired as an assistant coach to work with their quarterbacks?
I take a wild guess. His name is Thad.
Thaddeus Lewis.
Really?
So he is now coaching Tom Brady. After Brady was one, he's one of 100 Bills quarterbacks. I love how this works. That's how it works. Byron Leftwich and Thad Lewis coaching Tom Brady next season. Let's go to my game, Chiefs and Ravens. I feel like the Ravens have had so many big wins with Lamar Jackson, but there is one thing that they have not done, and that's beat Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has Lamar Jackson's number. He's 3-0 all-time against him, and last year we hyped that Monday night game up, like this is going to be the clash of the Titans, and Mahomes came right into Baltimore and took care of business, which they have done every single time against him. Now look, Lamar was close the first time in Arrowhead. He was closer the second time in Arrowhead. And then last year, it wasn't even as close. There was a couple big plays by Duvernay late that really made that game a game, but it was always Mahomes. You got to beat Patrick Mahomes if you're going to ever be relevant in the AFC. I think this is it. Like, this is the fourth time they're playing. You start racking up 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, 0-7. It's no longer just a narrative. It becomes reality.
Who's Lamar's new fullback, Peter, from Michigan?
Oh, he's got Ben the Bench Mason.
And see, that's the thing with Baltimore. Again, this is going to be the Orlando Browns going to be mentioned 100 times during this game. Lamar Jackson, Mahomes. He's 0-3 against Mahomes. Mahomes thrown for over 350 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick. The Ravens. He owns them. So much so the Orioles decided to tweet out at Patrick Mahomes for no reason because Mahomes owns Baltimore. So it's going to be, if they go 0-4 against the Chiefs, what do they got to be thinking? I mean, this was a team on the rise. Lamar Jackson was beating everybody but Kansas City. He was on that run. MVP, you know, a lot of expectations. The Chiefs were the team circled for Baltimore last year. The Chiefs were the team they needed to beat. They wanted to beat. They wanted to assert themselves as the power in the AFC. They failed miserably at it. They got blown out by the Kansas City Chiefs. You go 0-4 again, even after the game, they were calling them their kryptonite. Again, if the Chiefs beat Baltimore again, which they should, which, you know, it's football, you got to play the games, but again, Orlando Brown trade's going to come up again, and especially if they can't get through them. That's going to be an interesting thing. All right, here's another quarterback matchup from NFL Network.
That's who they got in the fifth round. But they did also get Owa, and they got some other players on that team. I think Rashad Bateman's going to play a role.
Okay. Like
the Ravens are knocking on that door in the AFC, and they have been. But the Chiefs are just monsters, and that is something that they cannot slay. I need to see Lamar Jackson finally beat Patrick Mahomes before I can say, the Ravens are here to play. That's a big one.
3-0. Yikes, not good. I'm going to go to the number one and number two overall picks. They get to square off against each other. That's right. Zach Wilson and our guy Trevor Lawrence. I'm here for a Jags-Jets rivalry, and I think it could be that if these two quarterbacks are as good as we expect them to be. I like that we'll get to see them. It has some extra juice. Remember, there was the Chris Simmonses of the world, if you will. Mm-hmm. A lot of people saying that Zach is better than Trevor, that he'll end up being better than Trevor. So everyone in the audience is so thirsty and parched. Everyone will be salivating over this matchup. And, I mean, everyone's going to want on the Jets side to prove that that's right. Zach Wilson is, in fact, better than Trevor Lawrence. I'm just here for a weird rivalry, and this could be that. So I'm excited to see these two square off.
I wouldn't put it on a Sunday night or Monday night, but that will be probably a Thursday night game. Well, they'll play twice. But Trevor Lawrence versus Zach Wilson? There is some interest there, the number one and number two quarterback taken in the draft. Like, that's low-key interesting to me.
Well, they better play pretty early on because I'm still not buying Zach Wilson, you know? I think...
Well, I understand. I understand why.
Play them early on in the season. I'll definitely watch it because I think it's definitely an interesting story.
There was two of those top four quarterbacks that had a track record. Actually, Mac Jones won a national title if you want to go five. But between Trey Lance, played one game last year, and one full season the year before. Zach Wilson was bad 2 years ago, 10 touchdowns, 9 picks. Had a hell of a year last year under a schedule that was done by dominoes. They played Coastal Carolina with 2 days' notice. Got beat, by the way. But he had a great year at BYU. Okay, one-year sample. So Justin Fields, see, he had street cred because he'd been to the college football playoffs and kept going. Like, he and Trevor Lawrence had more experience than anybody else as far as quarterbacks are concerned. But I am curious about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I'm curious,
against Lawrence.
Too. I'm curious. It's fascinating.
The Jets had a good offseason, I think. Robert Saleh, I think, did a good job bringing in pieces for that Jets team. I don't know. Would I be surprised if they had a Miami Dolphins-like season like they did last year, winning 10 games? Again, we have 17 games now, so we're a little bit different. Throw the record books out the window now because there's 17 games for a sample size. But this could be intriguing matchups. There's intriguing matchups on this schedule. And not only that, the Chiefs have the bullseye on their back now. And again, I've called this season the Chiefs back into the hunter role. I felt last year they were hunted. I did, because people wanted to beat the Chiefs. Like the Raiders, you know, made their season beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead. They do the laps around the parade. They didn't have a parade, but they probably could have, because they still talked about it after the season, even though they didn't make the playoffs. That was their one shining moment, that Chiefs game, because they wanted to beat them. They were the hunted. Now the Chiefs become the hunter again. They become the hunter next year, going back, trying to claim that Super Bowl. They're not everybody's darling like the Buccaneers are this year. It's okay. But they're still got the, like, Mahomes still does it, though, because Josh Allen still needs to beat Mahomes, right? Hierarchy of quarterbacks needs to beat him. Lamar Jackson's going to be looking to beat Mahomes. Guess who else is going to be? Baker Mayfield, right? There's the quarterbacks that want to beat Patrick Mahomes. Sure, they want to beat the Chiefs. They want to beat Mahomes. Those quarterbacks, it's a personal thing. Not that they don't like Patrick, but it's a personal thing. They want to beat him because they understand if you want to be talked about with the greats in the NFL, you got to win a Super Bowl like Patrick, and you got to win an MVP. Like, Jackson's got that part down. Problem is, he can't beat Patrick Mahomes. So there's three kind of Mahomes games in there. Quarterback battles this season with the schedule.
Well, don't you think Patrick Mahomes is almost poised to have a better season than he did last year?
Look at the line in front of him. Absolutely.
I just think that there's a chance that Patrick comes in next year and he humbles a lot of these dudes.
Who's going to have the better year, Mahomes or Clyde, with that offensive line? Because both of them are going to have a lot of success.
I mean, the answer is Mahomes. I'm sure Clyde will have a good year.
But Mahomes' number's already ridiculous what he's done. I mean, yeah, Clyde's going to have career. He might have, well, he's going to have a 17-game season going forward. So that's going to, but this is a favorable schedule for the Chiefs. You're playing the NFC East. Again, you got to play the games. Divisions can flip, but that was a laughable division where it really came down to the final week, who's ever going to win that division. And they barely won it. And there was question marks who's going to win it. And the reciprocal game, the 17th game, is the Packers that might have Jordan Love. Again, it's a very favorable schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs. But an interesting schedule, to be honest with you. Coming up next, we'll talk more Kansas City Chiefs, 913-576-7610. And that second tier of NFL teams, we discuss that next.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bank at Night. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson producing. Tom Bali signed that one-day contract, retired Kansas City Chief. Always like watching Tom play. Like, seriously. Like, he's one of those guys you love to watch play. Derek Thomas, my all-time favorite, who leads the Chiefs with 126.5 sacks. Tom Bali, number two all-time Kansas City Chiefs sacks with the Chiefs, 89.5. Neil Smith had 85.5 here. That's how nasty he and Derek Thomas worked together. Unbelievable. Justin Houston, fourth all-time Kansas City, 78.5. So, how about Chris Jones? He's already eighth all-time with sacks. But Tom Bali, we talk about Alex Smith and his unselfishness, you know, talking to Patrick and kind of being that mentor. This was Tomba with, like, Dee Ford and stuff. Like, I do believe Tomba got that extra contract with the Chiefs because Dee Ford wasn't ready to go. But he showed him the spin moves. Think about this. Dee Ford was drafted here. And it took a while, like, for him to do anything. That's why I had no qualms when he got moved to Frisco. I was, like, good with it, 100%. He never showed those flashes that we thought he'd have. You think about this. You have Justin Houston and Tom Bali to watch every day of practice, to watch those two individuals and what they do. Think about that. No other player really was drafted in the situation with those kind of edge rushers the Kansas City Chiefs have. To watch, ask questions to, let things, you know, see what they're doing. Because both of them are willing. That's one thing about the Chiefs are, they're willing to share information. Because Brandon Albert was that way with Eric Fisher. He knew he was drafted to take his job, but still, you know, very accommodating. Helped. That's kind of the Chiefs' way. They help the younger guys that are there to take jobs. They just do it. It's no wonder Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith, that relationship. There's not a lot of selfishness that goes on, but Tom Ali kind of epitomized what a team guy was for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we saw that today. Grant, I've got a bubble here. Yeah, I know the bubble word's been overused with the COVID. It has nothing to do with that. But the bubble of second-tier teams that you got to watch out for.
Second-tier NFL teams, I'm guessing?
AFC only.
Okay.
For the Chiefs' purposes.
So what constitutes your first bubble then?
Going for that first-round bye. To get that bye. The one team, get that bye. Who's that second-tier team? Because last year was who? Because remember, the Ravens were that tier two team, and then they dropped. The Steelers were too, and then they dropped like a rock. Both the Steelers and Ravens aren't in that to me. They got to prove themselves first. The Ravens have the talent. Let's prove it. They think the Orlando Brown deal was dumb. I've got the Colts, the Bills, and the Browns as those three feisty teams to look out for at this point. Not a fan of the Steelers, what they're doing. I know Big Ben's coming back. Losing Bud Dupree, I think, was huge. I do like Claypool on offense. You know, I do like Juju on offense with that team. Not sure Ben stays upright. I mean, barely did last year.
And so you think that the Carson Wentz thing is legit? Is that he's going to be rehabilitated in Indianapolis?
I'm not buying 100% Carson Wentz. But then again, I'm not saying it won't happen either, because he's back with Frank Reich. They had a lot of success in Philly before the injury. But again, it's Segmondi. You got to stay in the field. You know what I'm saying?
When you think,
but it's the offensive line
and the organization and stuff like that.
They got the most out of, what I'm saying is they get the most out of Phillip Rivers last year. The Colts did. That defense is better than the Bills. The offensive line is better than the Bills. The running game is better than the Bills. Quarterback's not. Josh Allen's still better. Wide receivers, I'd give the edge to Buffalo because of Stephon Diggs. But the Colts are so much better in a lot of different areas than Buffalo. When they did meet in the postseason, 4th and 2, they decided to throw it with Rivers instead of kicking a chip shot. They lost by 3, by the way. And they also missed a 33-yard field goal by Ricardo Blankenship. On the road, I felt the Colts. If you watch that game, you come away thinking, man, the Colts should have won that game. They didn't. I get it. Horseshoes and hand grenades, they didn't win it, but I felt they were there. But I do believe Carson Wentz is an upgrade over a Phillip Rivers that was 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, that's probably true. You're probably right about that.
Buffalo, of course. They showed the steps. They made it to get that postseason win, even though it was a tough game with Baltimore. 10 points scored both offenses. That's it. They had a 101-yard interception return to be the difference. But I do believe they belong in that second tier. I'm putting the Cleveland Browns. Like, I'm buying this team. You know, I'm buying the additions of John Johnson, the safety from the Rams, Troy Hill, the corner from the Rams, #1 secondary in the NFL, coming over there. Anthony Walker, the linebacker, Malik Jackson, the defensive tackle. You know, 3 all-pros on that offensive line. Baker doesn't need to be great. Serviceable. That's all he needs to be. But that running game is ridiculous in Cleveland. And that offensive line, in my opinion, the hierarchy of offensive line is Cleveland, Colts, and Chiefs at this point. Chiefs could move up. We'll see what happens. But at this point, I would say those are the top 3.
In the AFC, then?
In the AFC.
And so where are the Ravens in relation to this crew?
The Ravens got to prove something, you know?
You think they're outside of the tier 2?
I do at this point. The running game is deadly. I'll give them that. They can run the ball. But again, what are they going to do at wide receiver? Okay, they brought in Sammy Watkins. Not a big fan of that. I did like their draft. I did like the Baltimore Ravens draft.
What have the Browns done to make sure that they're in a tier 2 where the Ravens wouldn't be? If anything, I'd think that the Ravens have had proved more than the Browns.
Because the one thing about the Browns are, their defense was just right behind the Chiefs last year. But again, let's show up the secondary. What do? They get the starting safety and a starting corner from the Rams. The #1 deep pass defense in the NFL. They got 50% of them on their team. Garrett's already there, but you have Clowney on the other side. Say what you want about that. But again, this is a team getting better. I did like the Rashad Bateman pickup for the Ravens. I think he's actually going to be a serviceable, probably even better than Sammy Watkins, to be with them, to be quite honest. But I love the offensive line in Cleveland. How can you go wrong with 3 pro or all pro offensive linemen and have that running game that they have with Chubb and Hunt?
No, I mean, you're right. I
and
think
the coach of the year,
team.
And the coach of the year, and a team that won a playoff game and lost by 5 points at Kansas City. I don't think Cleveland's going away.
I know, but if you're just asking the Ravens to prove something, I think that Baltimore or Cleveland, while they're a good team that's going in the right direction, have proved actually nothing so far.
Steelers, I think, finished third in their division.
Yeah, probably. They could even maybe finish last if Joe Burrow's a little frisky. Probably not.
Does have Ja'Marr Chase. You talk about pairings.
I think Joe Burrow's really good.
You do talk about pairings. I like that pairing. You knew Joe was going to win out. They're going offensive line. They're going Ja'Marr Chase. They're going Heisman with his Blitnikoff receiver.
With his boy, yeah. Look, Sewell would have been good, I think, probably for the long-term success of their team.
Sewell's in the same place as Ja'Marr Chase. Both opted out last year. That's why Terrace Marshall got all those numbers, because there was none. But guess what? This is a reality. All right, James Palmer, the NFL Network. Denver Broncos last year, 21st best defense, 25th against the run, 16th against the pass. They've made some moves this offseason. And the Aaron Rodgers thing is dangled out there. Does Denver have the best defense in the NFL? One member of NFL Network says it's possible. Have that next.
Bank at night.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Big and IJ Binkley, Grant Nicholson. Grant, do you remember going into free agency what the biggest storylines are going to be? The kind of encapsulated our interest. Deshaun Watson before everything. Interesting offseason for Deshaun. But Deshaun and Russell. When Russell Wilson wanted out, you thought, okay, these guys can change the game plan. They can change the full complexion of the National Football League wherever they end up. And then we have Aaron Rodgers. Can you imagine had the Rodgers been there in the beginning, like Wilson and Watson? But there was always that thought that he's not happy.
Well, it feels like there's a lot more legitimacy to this Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah, because he's so dead set in his ways. Like when he says something, like Brett Favre was talking about him right on a podcast. Hey, when Aaron Rodgers makes up his mind, which is true, he's not wishy-washy. When he says something, he kind of means it. But Aaron Rodgers, it's very interesting. It's got to be very interesting for Chiefs fans too. And team, where's he going to end up? Where's Rodgers going to be? What's he want to do? Denver's got a lot of talent, man. They have a hell of a lot of talent. It's just piecing it together. They're deficient at the head coaching position, Vic Fangio. But James Palmer from NFL Network says their defense, which I said was 21st in the NFL last year, has a chance to be the best.
There's people around the league that think if they stay healthy, Patrick, this could be the best defense in the NFL. You look at what they did to address their secondary, and you get Patrick Surtain, Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller. You have maybe one of the best safety duos. We talk about Derwin James. How about Justin Simmons? And then they bring Kareem Jackson back. That secondary going against teams that throw the football so much in this division. If you can't have a Patrick Mahomes, you try to stop a Patrick Mahomes. But the other part of this, guys, that jumps out at me is for the first time since Bradley Chubb's rookie season, we're going to get a chance to see Von Miller and Bradley Chubb rush the quarterback, both of them healthy with that secondary and that pass rush, and Vic Fangio running it. A very, very interesting group to watch.
There's no question the defense can be good, but again, you got to score points. All right, Von Miller. He's on his last bit here in the NFL. Came back. They brought him back. Shelby Harris comes back on a three-year deal. Justin Simmons, big addition because he's going to be with Jack Johnson in that secondary again. They're really in his secondary. Phillip Lindsay was cut. He's with the Houston Mess at this point. They did draft Javonte Williams from North Carolina to draft. I like that running back. Good running back situation in North Carolina. Him and Michael Carter, they were there last year. Ronald Darby comes in, three-year contract for him. Kyle Fuller comes over, one-year contract. That's three new cornerbacks when you throw in Patrick Surtain for the Denver Broncos. The run defense, 25th in the NFL. They give 130 yards per game. You could run on that defense. To say that they're one of the best, that's a tough jump, man. That's a tough jump. Like, I'd buy Cleveland moving in the top 10. Denver's got some work to do. You can't. It's very difficult to go from 21st to 1st, and I get Fangio's there. Pass defense, 16th in the NFL. See what they have. But again, Denver's fate, load up on defense all you want. Try to stop Mahomes and Herbert. I guess worry about Derek Carr, because right now at this point, that's a battle for third and fourth place in the AFC West. But man, the talent there. Noah Fant, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. Now Javonte Williams in the running back spot. I love what they're doing. They've got some really nice pieces, but the quarterback position. I believe in Drew. I just don't like the quarterback coach combination. And he's finally got a Shermer's there again, so he's finally got the same offensive coordinator. Now, if Rodgers doesn't end up there, it's a battle between Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Locke has been watching film and working out with Peyton Manning. Very interesting situation. But Denver, to me, is interesting because the old Aaron Rodgers, I give it, their defense has gotten a lot better. I mean, they went out and hammered that secondary. Like, those are necessary pieces, but do they have the quarterback to get the job done? Because I think Aaron Rodgers defies what a head coach is. I think he's good enough to, it doesn't matter that Fangio's there. I do believe that Bridgewater and Locke need that quarterback-coach combination. I don't think Rodgers needs it.
I think that's a good point. I just would be curious if he came here, if they would be, you know, legitimate title contender or not, you know?
Well, people are already buying stock in the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl because of the possibility that Aaron Rodgers ends up there. Obviously, the odds are going way up if he does. But the odds are that they're number one. They are number two in space under the cap. The Broncos, they got a lot of money. Now they'd have to trade future draft pick considerations, which is fine because, again, and part of the thing was, why didn't it happen this year? Well, they got to wait till after June 1st. We know that. And two, this year wasn't the year to get draft picks. This draft wasn't good. These GMs really didn't like this draft this year. It's a lot of what-ifs in this draft. I mean, there's some surefire guys, but there's a lot of wait and see with this draft. Well, that's why general managers were collecting picks for future years. That's why Dave Gettleman, the Giants, has never traded back twice, accumulating picks, which he has a first-round pick, two of them going in the next year.
Well, the Ravens did a lot of that, too, trying to acquire picks, and the Orlando Brown thing's part of that, yeah.
The thing was, two of them were this year. Like, one for next year because they're flip-flopping with the Chiefs, the fifth and the sixth. But given the Ravens' 31st this year, it didn't matter. What I'm saying is GMs were accumulating picks for beyond. Not for this particular draft, but collecting them for 22 and beyond. Because they trust the draft more. Because the medicals, you go to the combine, you do the medicals, you can actually have visits at the facility.
More time with guys.
Which
sure.
Now it's been Zoom, you know, and you get limited medicals and you have to take the word of the player and all that. And the vetting, it's just different. COVID really made the NFL a crapshoot. I think we'll look back at the 2021 draft and think, okay, what a lot of question marks. Because, again, you can only send three personnel people to the pro days. And you're going off the numbers from their school, which GMs really don't trust schools sometimes when it comes to 40. You saw these 40 times at these pro days. They're ridiculous. Now, some of these you buy because the player, okay. But would they have run that in Indianapolis? Probably not. You get medicals in Indy. And keep in mind, they brought 150 players back to Indy, and they just did medicals only. But those medicals were slow trickling in to even draft day on some of these players. And there was question marks. The Chiefs had a bunch of question marks on Trey Smith. That was really the one that they went, because the Chiefs are very careful with the medicals in the draft. And obviously Trey Smith would raise some red flags. But that's where Rick Burkholder, the trainer, and everybody got involved, saying, okay, this guy's going to be fine. This guy's overcome. He's worked through his issues. Because that blood clot problem can be a problem. But the medicals, again, a big deal. But I think this year was such a crapshoot the teams are going for. The Aaron Rodgers and Denver thing makes too much sense to me. Vic's not getting any younger. Elway probably knows he can't develop a quarterback at this point. He's got to go and hire one like Peyton Manning. Even though he's not the GM there anymore, it's George Payton. Still, he's there. Still, his name is there. His name is what brought in Peyton Manning. But that's how he won. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since 2015. It's a long time ago. Grant, you were still probably in middle school.
Okay, not quite. I was in college at that point.
In 15? Freshman?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a minute.
It's not funny.
But it's been a minute.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's not exactly like yesterday. I mean, Royals world champions 15, right? Going through a rebuild at this point. It's been 6 years ago. It's a long time not to beat the Chiefs in your division.
Yeah.
Especially for a proud football city like Denver.
That's a good point.
That's their answer. That's their answer. And you know they're interested in quarterbacks. They said it. James Palmer said that they're interested in it. I mean, Drew Locke, they weren't willing to do that for Stafford, but they were in on Stafford. And allegedly, they were in on Deshaun Watson when he was being dangled out there. Which still kind of is, but it's kind of a weird situation.
I'm not sure anybody's too interested in Deshaun Watson at this point.
Oh, there's going to be interest, because if you can play football, there's interest. But it is, anyway, this is James Palmer, NFL Network, on Rodgers in Denver.
Yeah, Omar, I've talked to people inside the building who told me that it is a real possibility Aaron Rodgers could end up with the Denver Broncos. Those same people have told me that, remember, deals of this size with players of this nature, MVPs, are difficult to get done, and you don't know if they're going to get done until you get to the finish line, and at the same time, you need the Packers to make him available. But let's just talk in speculation in a sense about how the Broncos are a legitimate landing spot. Remember how aggressive George Payton has been at the quarterback spot and how he's talked about how aggressive he's going to be about improving the quarterback spot. Going after Matthew Stafford, definitely coming up short there, but not really going into the free agent market in terms of Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Teddy Bridgewater deal was something that's been in the works for a while. And when they heard the news about Aaron Rodgers and his, you know, uncomfortable situation with the Green Bay Packers, they started kind of thinking about what a package would be if they were going to try to put something together for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, the Packers on draft day weren't picking up the phone and talking about those discussions. But also comes into play their cap situation. Very few teams have the cap ability to land Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos do. They have the second most cap space in the NFL. And then a lot of teams would have to unload an expensive quarterback to make room for Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos don't have that. Teddy Bridgewater, because of the way George Payton played it, they only have him for about $3 to $4 million. And Drew Locke's below that. So they don't have these constraints that a lot of other teams have in landing Aaron Rodgers. And that makes them a suitable spot. And then you look at all the draft picks that they have, Omar, as well. And you look at where they've used those draft picks in the recent years. And you look at first and second round picks pretty much at every single spot at receiver, tight end, and running back, around whatever quarterback it would be, including Aaron Rodgers.
So that remains the interesting piece. And James Palmer from NFL Network does a lot of stuff with the Kansas City Chiefs. He lives in Denver. Text line 913-576-7610 talks about the old Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. Keep this in mind. When they played together, because they've been dealing with injuries back and forth, especially if Von Miller didn't play last year. When they did play in 18, and again, you're hoping for that Jaren Reed, Frank Clark, you know, that reconnection they had that same year. Bradley Chubb had 12 sacks that year. Von Miller had 14 and a half. I mean, it's 26 and a half sacks with guys they have coming back. So again, You get that equation. Can they get to the quarterback? Yeah. And I said they bring back Shelby Harris as well. Denver is. So, you know, good pass rush. That I like their secondary and what they've done. But the quarterback changes the whole complexion of the way we look at things. Coming up next, Kansas City Royals in Detroit starting tomorrow. It's time to turn the page for the boys in blue. We explain next.
Bank at Night.
Welcome back to Bank at Night, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. Grant, of course, we started the show off with your lack of responsibility, to be quite honest with you. You dumped the show yesterday. You didn't get your mom anything to eat on Mother's Day. You didn't see your mom. Hope you called her.
I texted my mom.
Okay. Your generation, bro. You didn't have time to call your mom?
I probably could have called my mom.
You probably could have. You probably could have, and you probably should have. But you're buying dinner. We get the set. You're doing it Wednesday.
Dinner. Yeah.
You're doing Wednesday.
Yeah, I think Wednesday, yeah.
For dad, too?
Yeah, I'll buy for dad.
So he got in on this, huh?
Yeah, they're kind of a package deal.
Exactly.
I can't just buy food for my mom.
Well, I'm glad you got this worked out. Now, you were at a bachelor party, correct?
Yes, I was.
Are you in this wedding?
I'm not, no.
What the hell, man?
It's a small-ish wedding. He's only, I guess his bride-to-be only has a handful of bridesmaids, and so just a guy's weekend.
You know what, though? That might not be the worst thing in the world.
I get all the perks, none of the responsibilities.
So you're at that age where you get invited to a bunch of weddings, right? I did too. And every single one of them got divorced. But the bottom line is you get invited to be a groomsman, and there's a lot of times you have to buy your own tux or rent your own tux. I know sometimes the groom will buy it, but a lot of times you get stuck with the $150, whatever it costs to rent the tux. But at least you don't have to deal with that, right?
No, yeah. Like I'm telling you, I got all the perks, none of the responsibilities.
I was supposed to be an usher in Vern's wedding, Josh Vernier's, but it rained. They were going to have an outdoor deal. Got moved to the inside. I didn't do anything. But I didn't have to buy a tux either, rent a tux. You know, it was just all suits. Didn't even have to do it. Didn't do anything. Had no responsibilities.
Works out for the best that way.
Not only that, but it was not a cash bar. Even better. It's good beer.
Open bar is the best.
It is. That means you really like your people.
Mm-hmm.
When you want them to pay for their own tax and you want them to pay for their own beer or drinks, and you've been registered at like five different places for things you already have, and you have to admit, a lot of these registrations are stupid, aren't they? They want garden hoses or whatever. It's like, what the hell do you need this for?
Well, a lot of these new ones, you can do it all online. You can do your gift online. I went to a wedding where they're like, hey, can you just contribute money towards our vacation or our honeymoon? I did that one in a heartbeat.
They actually asked you, can you contribute to my honeymoon?
Well, they had other things. They had,
it was like a GoFundMe, send me to Tahiti?
I mean, yeah, kind of. You have to remember, all my friends are like a couple years out of college.
I would have left a dollar and a middle finger.
No way. I gave him $50 easily.
That's ridiculous.
So much less That's hassle ridiculous. For me.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't have to do anything. They saw it. They saw the contribution. Like, man, thanks, Grant.
Were they going to Tahiti?
I don't know where they went. I think they went to Puerto Rico or someplace.
Just have them get in the car and go to Topeka. You know what I mean? Deal with it. You know?
What? I think this. I think that's incredible.
Your friends for money so you can fly to Puerto Rico or whatever, man.
Yeah, but
if you don't get the money,
they're gonna hammer me. They're gonna hammer me for the.
Just get in your car and drive to Topeka or Wichita for a shake or Columbia, Missouri,
or Springfield, maker Missouri, or something dumb.
Or drive down to
Arkansas.
If they
want to go to Puerto Rico, good for them.
Drive down to Arkansas.
They got student loans and stuff. I don't want to buy them a flat iron or a skillet or something.
I'm gonna set
stupid.
Up a GoFundMe for you to send me on a trip I want to go on. Can you send me down to South Beach?
You're not getting married.
I can if you'll send me to South Beach.
You get married, I'll contribute to your vacation to South Beach.
$50?
Yeah. I figured that's what it costs for like a shaker or mixer, smoothie maker, or something dumb.
Man, I probably just, seriously, like a buck.
What?
I'm not paying for your trip to Puerto Rico.
But would you buy something off the registry?
Yeah, give a toast or something.
They're the same thing. It's both a gift for the wedding.
Let me ask you this. When's the wedding? Is it during football season? Because if that is, they don't like you.
It was.
Oh, God.
But it was
is it on a Saturday?
But it was
like
an open bar. So he did. It was a road game. He made sure it was a road game, and he made sure it was after the game.
The wedding's already happened?
No, this is a different guy.
Okay. This bachelor party went. Hopefully, this wedding's the summer, right?
Yeah, it's in like 3 weeks.
All right. It's not during football season.
No.
That could be a real problem when you're getting married during a college football Saturday. Like last year, probably not as big a deal because COVID like canceled all these games, but or the NFL on a Sunday. Got to be cautious, man. If you truly care about your friends, you get married in the offseason.
Absolutely.
I've always said that. And by the way, your anniversary is always going to be during football season, too. So just wait and do it during the offseason. But the Royals in Detroit, Josh Vernier with the On Deck Show, as always. But keep in mind, the Royals' first four-game sweep happened in Detroit. The first four-game road trip sweep since 1999. Been a minute. Six of the next 12 games against the Detroit Tigers. Time to kind of get things going in the right direction for the Kansas City Royals. I can't wait. Can't wait to see what they do. It was a bad week. Turned a bad week into a good week. Just like they turned their losses into wins earlier this year. Thanks to Matt Stegner to join us from arrowheadpride.com earlier. Thanks as always to you, Grant Nicholson. I'll set up that GoFundMe to send me to South Beach. All right, everybody, good night.
Night.